Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew, and we are in the 12th chapter. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. And no, we have not moved forward from this portion of Matthew yet. I'm not quite done, okay? I have in mind to preach, I've got a lesson outlined in my mind, and I've got a couple notes written down here, but by and large, I just allow the Lord to lay upon my heart what he has for us, and I'm up here just talking. So if he leads me in a different direction, that's where we're going to go, folks, okay? So here in Matthew chapter 12, I want to read again verse 46 through 50. So here in verse 46, our Lord is speaking with the disciples, and he says, "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. And then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? Well, that'd be a strange question to ask. Well, they're standing right there desiring to speak with you. So they're always wondering, what is he going to say next? Okay, and he has a spiritual lesson. This is why our Lord would tell the disciples, that, or the people that followed him, Some were actual disciples or learners, and some were there for the offerings and the miracles, the bread and the miracles. You've got to remember, they were poor. When you have a very poor community, you have a lot of disease, okay? This is why people were constantly trying to trail the Lord to get if they felt his garment, they would be healed of the disease or the malady that they had. With great poverty comes, you don't have clean conditions, you don't have proper nutrition, your body gets, worn down, and it's a perfect conduit for disease to come in. So it was a very poor, diseased community. Well, that was the state of the nation of Israel, spiritually speaking. Okay? So the time that our Lord came reflected the state of the nation of Israel. We see that over in our teachings with the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6. They had the truth, but they were operating in heresy. They were operating in idolatry. Okay? The nation of Israel were the supposed to be, and they had been for so long until the church age, the custodians of the very truth of the Word of God. Okay? And through the sacrificial system, they preached the Lord Jesus Christ. So they had the same gospel message that we have. The only difference is people get this really confused. And I know it can be confusing. If you don't really understand what the sacrificial system was all about, it can seem like the Lord was saving souls in a totally different manner prior to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But every single soul that has ever been saved, all the way back to Adam, all the way to the last soul that shall ever be saved during the Great Tribulation period, okay, was saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. All right? The sacrificial system, just, get this through your heads, the sacrificial system, in all of its attributes, pointed to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The act had not yet been done, so something had to represent Christ. And we see these representative ministries, the types here, the types there. And people wonder, why didn't God just explain it? Why did he have to use the various offices to represent? Well, because unto those that won't receive him it is not given, but unto you it is given. Okay? He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Okay? And so if the natural man, we recite this verse all the time, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, okay? What are the things of the Spirit of God? The truth concerning God in his person and in his work. Really, the truth of all things. I was talking a little bit about it in the last message pertaining to the bulletin that I wrote. If you want to know how the world ticks, just understand the nature of man, and you'll have it all figured out. You want to know the outcome of some sort of government program? Just understand the nature of man. It's going to be corrupted. You would think, okay, if you were handed the high office of the presidency or a kingdom or a senator, that you would think to yourself, millions of people, thousands or millions, depending on where you rule, depend on me. I better be a good steward. But no, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, not even one. And the Lord has raised up the basest of men to rule. So, the left isn't wrong about Donald Trump. He's a base guy. We've all heard the stories of his locker room banter. That's what he really thinks. But is that not what all men really think? Aren't we all base? Okay? In our true nature, we're all base. Christians don't like to admit this. When the spies were sent into the land to see what was there, where was the first place they went? They went to the house of the ladies of the night, to put it in the nice way. Okay, ladies of the evening. Well, what do you do with ladies of the evening? Okay, I don't think we need to go any further with this one. All right, okay. Human nature is human nature. Where did humans get their nature? In Adam, all die. Okay, the wages of the sin is what? Death. Okay, but our Lord Jesus Christ supplanted the blood of Adam with his own blood. This is why the sacrifice or the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is so paramount. If he was born of a man, he would have been a sinner. Okay. And we have the story of, I watched a documentary recently, a very good historical documentary of the times, the recorded events through Josephus and various other historians at the time, the times of Jesus. And so that was good information to glean, and it was verified by the Bible and that kind of thing. So that was good information. But when they presented Jesus Christ, they were like, where did this young child get the mind of a rabbi, not being taught for 33 years, blah, 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 you know? Well, they failed to recognize that he was God himself, okay? And so they said, oh, Jesus came about because Mary had an affair with a Roman soldier. And they were using, I kind of thought when Pastor Andre first mentioned it, that maybe he was making this up himself, to be honest, that because of the Renaissance paintings, which always, you know, pictures our Lord Jesus Christ with a, you know, pretty blonde or strawberry blonde hair sometimes, or very fair complexion, couldn't possibly be from the Middle East, okay? First of all, he had no form nor comeliness that we should desire. That means that any person should look at him and be like, man, that guy's a hunk, you know? No, he had no form nor comeliness. He was probably, as far as his physical aspect goes, just your average, sandy, Middle Eastern type of guy, okay? Probably had a larger nose, probably had, you know, a narrow face, that kind of thing. They tend to have those attributes, they always have. So there was no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. But because we're supposed to use the Renaissance painters as gospel, they're somehow prophets, able to look back in time to see what our Lord was like, that means that he probably had an affair with a German or a Gaulish Roman soldier, okay? It defames the Lord Jesus Christ and turns him into a sinner. Now, I don't say that by act, I say that by blood. If he was the child of a son of Adam, okay, he would have the nature of his father Adam because like begats like, all right? That's why the virgin birth was so important. Our Lord Jesus Christ was God himself, period. End of story. There is no debate. That is not up for debate, okay? If we're going to go down the road of trying to figure out whether he was man or God, blah, blah, blah. Yes, he was fully man, and yes, he was fully God. There is no debate, okay? It's not anecdotal. That's thus saith the Lord, all right? If it were not, then we're lost in our sins and we're condemned. And we may as well go out that door, like I always say, head down to Shooters and eat and drink and be merry, you know, because tomorrow we die, okay? If it were not for our Lord Jesus Christ being virgin born, all right? So, you know, people like to, they love to humanize the Lord Jesus Christ because it makes them look better, okay? That's the only reason. Man's nature has never changed. It's always been the same. So I can tell you exactly, you know, is this country going to turn around and become the bastion of freedom that it used to be? No, it never will. Because, you know, Lord Acton was right. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And someone will trade money for power any day of the week because that's what he got from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're going to be as the God. What is being God? Being God is power. God is power. That's one of his attributes. We are powerless before him of whom we have to do, okay? God is the one that possesses the power. He has the power of life, and he has the power of death, okay? We do not. Man has been yearning to be like God ever since he ate from that evil tree. So I always like to, I use this analogy all the time, the county dump employee syndrome. Okay? There, it's always some sort of left behind person, because nobody wants to work at the county dump. Okay? If you've ever been there during the summertime, the whole area reeks like trash. Okay? No, it's not glorious. Okay? So you get some divorced mother who's got 9 kids and 5 baby daddies and all this kind of thing. And I'm not making fun of anybody here who might have 5 baby daddies, okay? It's under the blood, okay? I'm using this as a point, okay? And you roll, and suddenly she's got the levers of power. And so every time I went to the dump, because I frequently did for the mill, we still have a trash trailer. We just produce too much garbage and stuff, parts, and every meal our crew eats has to be out of some plastic container, so that just piles up. And we'd have to have two trash bins to keep up with it. So we put it all in a big old trailer, and I haul it down to the dump, and I physically, I always say my job at the mill is owner and head latrine cleaner. I do it all, you know. But so I'll go there with the same load of trash leveled off on the top of the trailer, and it'll be $20 one day. Oh, now they're doing it by weight. This used to be the way. It's by weight now. But prior to that, it'd be $20 one day. It'd be $45 the next day. It'd be $18 one day. There's always these different prices. And so I called up the office one time, and I asked, why am I getting charged different prices? Because it's supposed to be by volume, and they're supposed to go out and measure the trailer, and so the certain volume of trash you have by volume, it's supposed to be the same price every time if it's the same volume every time. So I call them up, and they say, well, yeah, that's Wanda or something like that. She's the boss's favorite collector because she really brings in the cash. I'm like, I think we got some screwery going on here, you know. So, but yeah, she's got a little bit of a chip on her shoulder. What Wanda loved to do was make sure you knew she was boss. So you'd go out, she'd measure the trailer, and she'd be like, "That's 9 yards." And I'm like, I couldn't fit 9 yards in this thing if I wanted to, you know. So I'd go out with my measuring. She's like, "Well, I'm the one that has the official measuring tape." I'm like, you've got a Stanley measuring tape just like I do, you know. Yeah, but this one belongs to the Lane County, you know, whatever. So she want to lord over you, you know. She had some power. And human beings will trade anything for power. It's just, why? Because it's our nature to do so. Why does a pig go to the waller? It's his nature to do so. You can have the pig so dolled up for the for the show, ready to go, ribbon around its neck, show him the waller, and he's going to go to it. Because it's the nature of a pig is to go and wallow in the mud. All right? We are the same way, okay? It's not like, it's almost as if we can't help it. Why? Because we can't. It's not that we sin sometimes, okay? It's our nature to sin because of what we got from our father Adam. If the churches understood this, they would change their doctrine completely. But they don't. You want to know why? Because if they stick with their false doctrine, it gives them power, okay? Like I was saying in the last service, I used to have a friend that would just couldn't stop talking about the joyous, wonderful man that their pastor was over at the Faith Center, which is the Four Square Church, you know. But I got a story I can tell you about the Four Square Church sometime if you don't want to have the kids around. But nevertheless, Mary Simple McPherson, interesting gal. But anyway, she started the Four Square movement. And she would talk about continually, this, he's so wonderful. If you're around him, you just by his being around him, you want to be a better person, you know. And then one day, he just left. Like, it was one Sunday he was there. Next Sunday, the associate pastor stepped in. They got a letter, and he had left to a different church because the Lord called him to a different congregation because they needed him there more. Okay, so he dropped him like a hireling, you know. That's what the world does. He was seeking after power. The love of money is the root of all the evils, you know. So where do you put your, where is your treasure? Is your treasure in the Lord, or is your treasure in the earth, which is going to be burned up? And the Lord's going to thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor. So all the good seed will be brought into the storehouse, speaking of heaven, and all the bad seed, the tares, and all the thresh is going to be burned up. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And so if people would understand this, you'd understand a little bit about mankind. Now, this stuff comes with growth. This is why it's so important for us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why it's so important for us to have a spiritual maturity. So when all the BS out there in the world comes along, we can brush it off because we understand what the truth is. Okay? The world's got a way of getting at us. It can come from the weirdest channels too. Our families, our businesses, our carnal desires, you know, it can come through for whatever reason. You know, I'm going to probably coach Babe Ruth baseball again this year if I have time to. I like to busy myself up to the hilt. And my friends all tell me that I'm working too much, but they don't understand me very well. I can't even sit still through a movie, ask my wife. I got to be doing three things at once, you know. I feel like I'm wasting time if I'm sitting still through a movie. But, you know, I have to ask the commissioners of Babe Ruth baseball, how many games they're going to have on Sundays. And then I got to say, I can't be there for those games, or Wednesdays. Well, why? It's always an odd look. Like, why would you not want to be there supporting the team? Because I have to be there supporting my Lord, who comes before my team, you know. And, that seems like you got things, you're convoluted, you know. Because I always like to put it this way, because this is kind of how it is around baseball people, and I'm not making fun of baseball people back there, guys, okay? I know you understand, all right? This isn't directed at you. But baseball is what? It's life. Or football is life, or basketball is life. No, Jesus Christ is life. You know, we've been purchased from the slave block of sin. We've been taken as brands from the burning. Because if it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have all the funsies in the world you want. You're going to hell after you die. I'd rather have it not be for anyone. Christ made it so that no man would have to go to hell. So where do we lie our priorities? And this is what we're talking about in this portion of Scripture. Now, if the natural comes calling, the world, that's what we're talking about here. Now, Christ's mother, his brethren, were by and large, as far as I can tell from the Scriptures, all saved. Okay? So, you know, was he shaming them directly and personally? No. He was saying that the spiritual comes before the natural. So when the world says you ought to be doing this, and we had said in reciprocal grace after we were saved, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord's taught us what he would have us do here in his book. Let me show you how that works. Turn with me to Acts chapter 6. Hold your spot here. Acts chapter 6. This portion of Scripture deals with the salvation of Saul of Tarsus. It would have been Saul. And then in Greek, his name is Paul, you know. And so we pronounce it with the English dialect, and you actually emphasize the U. Okay, so Acts chapter 6, let's see, let me find the verse. Okay. Oh, that's chapter 7. Oh, no, that's it. Not it. Power of the church. All right, hold on here. I got to find the salvation of the Apostle Paul. Oh, here we go. Acts chapter 9. Sorry. This is my mind. It's Acts chapter 9, verse 6, not Acts chapter 6, verse 9. I was thinking 6:9. But it was 9:6. I do that all the time with numbers. So is that dyslexia? Yeah. Nice. Okay, good. Thanks for the diagnosis, guys. All right. You know, isn't it funny how we have to define ourselves by our mental conditions these days? They used to just call it stupid. I used to listen to a band called AC/DC. Is that something now? So, okay. All right. Verse 1 of the 9th chapter, now that we're in the right spot. I totally was thinking chapter 9, verse 6, but my mind was going to chapter 6. Anyway, okay. Verse 1. This should be but instead of and. But Saul, still breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. This is why the Apostle Paul thought of himself the chiefest of sinners. He was breathing out threatenings and death to the children of the Lord. Okay? or the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, who at the time was Caiaphas, and desired him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, you know, letters of permission, that if there be found any of this way, now what are we called? Children of the way. Jesus Christ is the truth and the way, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Why? So that they might publicly recant their faith or die. So he had the authority to beat, imprison, what do they call it when you torture, or kill anyone who would not recant their faith. Okay? And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the light. Okay, so he's showing himself to be what he is. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Okay, this is the call to salvation, right? And, you know, I remember that day, you know, when I was in the world as a sinner, I was in contradiction to God. And so I was persecuting God. Now, I wasn't directly persecuting the church, but if someone were to ask me, what is great salvation by grace through faith, I would have told them that's not the right way. You have to be a good person. That is persecution, okay? So Paul was operating in his natural mind, as I did at one point in time. Now, I wasn't out gathering up Christians, but my sin was no worse than the sin of the Apostle Paul. I required salvation just like him. So, and the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, because if we persecute one of the Lord's, we're persecuting the Lord himself. Is it hard for thee to kick against the goads? The pricks doesn't really mean anything. The pricks is the outcome of the goading. When you get goaded, you got pricked. Okay. What was a goad, you ask? Well, a cattle driver, these would be used with stagecoaches frequently. If they'd have reins, okay, to drive the horses, but if a horse or an oxen wasn't moving, you'd have a long pole next to you on a stave with a point, like a metal tip on the end of it, about a half inch long, and you could reach out there and jam it in the rear end of the beast of burden if they wouldn't move. And if they still wouldn't move, you kept jamming until they moved, okay? So the Lord does a good job of goading each and every one of us, and he goaded us into this church, if you were saved here, to hear the gospel. You may not have understood what the goading was all about at the time, but that's what he was doing, okay? And he goads every single one of his believers that he makes his own, because if you be without chastisement, are you what? You bastards and not sons. So be glad for the chastisement and listen. Don't ignore spiritual intuition. You know, sometimes if things aren't working out, it's if you're a believer, it's the Lord talking to you, okay? And maybe you ought to think about what you're doing, okay? And typically it's for a return to the Lord, because we have a tendency to wander. And so if you're involved in something that's just not working out and it's burdensome and there's problems here and problems there, more often than not, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's the Lord's not in it, you know? And so, you know, don't ignore spiritual intuition. I have. And spiritual hindsight's always what? 20/20, okay? So you start understanding after you go through it. And we're going to. You know, we're apt to wander, like the song says. And, our Lord's a good shepherd. And if he's got to break our leg along the way, he's got to break our leg along the way. Otherwise, if we wander too far away from the flock, the wolves are going to get at us. Okay? So, let's see, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, for a believer in Jesus Christ, that's you've been shown the grace of the Lord, okay? Did he have to save you? No. But he willingly gave of himself that you might be with him for the ceaseless ages of eternity, no different than Adam did, like I wrote here in the bulletin, wherever it may be. Oh, it's a bookmark here. Adam willingly, he was no dummy, okay? He knew that if he had not sinned, the woman that he loved would have to be caught up in the transgression and be banned from God's presence for the ceaseless ages of eternity. And so therefore, if Adam was in God's presence and she wasn't, they would be separated forever. Okay. So Adam, knowing a little bit about the grace of God, gave himself that God might save his wife, or he gave himself for his wife. Okay. What are we? We are the bride of Christ. The called out assembly of God from all ages is God's bride. Okay. That's why we have an actual marriage ceremony. It's supposed to reflect Christ and his church. And I always read the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and talk about how women are a helpmeet for their husband, but they never listen far enough to understand that the man's supposed to give himself as Christ gave himself for the church, which means gave his life. So I get all the rolling eyes from the women in the audience. I was doing one wedding one time, and there was so much unrest. You know, you hear the, you can't tell what anybody's saying, but you hear all the jibber jabber in the background, and wives looking at their husbands and all the grizzled faces. And I had to step aside and said, look, folks, you don't understand what this means. This is a reciprocal, I explained it. And then everybody was like, okay. You know, sorry about that. So everybody gets so upset, you know. Women, you don't want to be a man. We get all the responsibility and none of the glory, okay? And why would you want to, you know, I don't understand this. Bearing a child is the most wonderful thing that a man or a woman could share. And to be the vessel of bearing, it's a wonderful thing. Rejoice in your capacity as a woman. God made you thus, okay? And then raise your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the nice thing about kids. You can't convince the world of sin. Righteousness and judgment. The Spirit of God's responsible for that. But you can raise your own kid in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and more likely than not, if you raise them in the Lord, they're going to trust Christ as their Savior. That's a great responsibility, and it's quite easy, actually, you know. And so, in the day in which we live, man's going to create a paradise upon earth, okay, likened to the one that's going to be promised to us in the kingdom of heaven. Yet it's going to be the exact opposite of what's promised us in the kingdom of heaven, and without that old bastard God. I'm not saying that, but like I think that. That's what the world thinks about God. You know, that old racist SOB, you know, just an old white guy up there in heaven. No, you better not do this, screaming at the clouds, you know. No, they're going to have to bow before their Lord one day. Whether they believe him or not, he's going to be their Lord. And they're going to have to give a confession of all the things they've done in their life. And they're going to be found short of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God's going to have to say, because of his righteous nature, depart from me, ye that work the iniquity, for I never knew you. And there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know, when we understand these, I don't say this for effect. I don't say these things for effect. I say this so that we might understand who we are and what world we live in and who we belong to. Because the world can really, it's like puts its thumb on us. It just punches down on us until we're absolutely out of energy sometimes, you know. And, you know, that's the flesh. But if we turn to the Lord, we have an explanation for everything, and we understand that God has a superiority over all things, and he's already claimed the victory over sin, death, and the grave, so how much worse can it get? What are they going to do? Kill me? I have a heavenly inheritance, you know. When we understand that, we're free from this burden that the world places upon us, you know. The Lord said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And, you know, salvation is for every soul. And so Paul says here, and this is the proper response for a believer in Jesus Christ after they're saved, Lord, what would you have me to do? Okay? Because God could. He was still there. He was saved for the purpose of God's fellowship for the ceaseless ages of eternity. So God could have taken him home right then and there. Just pulled him up through that column of light. Okay? Said, come on hither, come up hither. But no, he left him there because God had a service for him to perform, a help meet for the Lord. All right? So he says here, and he trembling and astonished. That's kind of how I felt after I knew the Lord called me into the ministry too. You know, I was trembling and astonished. You know, why me? I don't wish this office upon anyone. It's a lot of responsibility. But I get no more joy in the world. I used to have a lot of joyous things that I did, but if I had to go back to those things, I'd be a miserable guy. I love preaching the Word of God, all right? And he trembled and astonished, he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And this is like the call for every believer. Arise, you know, we're going to go out into all the world, okay, and operate according to what? Thus saith the Lord, okay? Now, who confirms the word of God to us? Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. All right, here in John 14, where do I want to start? Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. This is what I have spoken to you. Okay, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you were to use one verse, that is, in a nutshell, what he spoke to them. And my Father will love him, and we... speaking of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Godhead, will come unto him and make our abode or our dwelling place with him. Okay? He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. So they're going to stand against the truth and say, no. Our Judaism has taught us that we need to be good little boys and girls so that God will see us as righteous, and we can know if somebody's unrighteous, if they're poor or they're dirty or blah, 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 blah. And same with Christianity. Okay? No, we don't stand before God on our own merit. We stand before God on the merit, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone. Okay? So he that keepeth not my sayings, the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet or still present with you. But the Comforter, in the Greek, it's parakletos, or parakletos, you tell me when you become a Greek scholar. All right? That means one called alongside to help. Okay, an advocate, kind of like if we were to hire an attorney. You know, if I have a legal matter and I'm not very skilled in the law, I need to hire a professional that knows so that he can represent me before the judge. Okay, otherwise I'm going to get my butt kicked in court. You know, so I need to have a professional. So in the matters of the Lord, we have one called alongside to help because we haven't learned anything about the Lord in the natural. We need to be taught. All right, so the Paraclete or the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. I don't like saying ghosts because everybody gets the idea of like an apparition, you know. It's the Holy Spirit. You can't, are there ghosts? Yeah, they're spirits, okay? You can't see them. So all the pictures taken of ghosts weren't pictures taken of ghosts, okay? Spirits are incorporeal. They don't have a body, all right? Now, that doesn't mean that your grandpa's, you know, still wandering around in your attic somewhere after dying 50 years ago. Probably just means your house is settling. Although we'll watch a scary show and my wife will swear she hears footsteps upstairs. Oh, it's probably Noah sneaking in the window. All right. So, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall do what? Go and it shall be shown. Go into the city, it shall be shown unto you, or told unto you, what thou shalt do. This is the calling of the Lord into the sound of the gospel. Okay, how do we learn all the things of the Lord? Faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You want to know some good evidence of that? The last three pastors you heard, Brother Stuart, Pastor Andre, and me. I am sitting up here and just talking to you. I've got no notes. I got a few verses I wrote down on a piece of paper. I haven't gone to any of them yet, so we're going to need another 2 hours probably. That would be a good time. Like, if I had 3 hours to preach, I feel like I could really get a good message across. But I'm operating in what the Lord lays upon my heart, and it's a strange thing. I can quote verses to you from the pulpit. Okay, and you may think this is like, you know, witchcraft or something like that, but it's not. It's the Spirit of God. I can quote verses to you from the pulpit like that. I've never had a good, strong snap. Use some sandpaper in my fingers or something like that. But if you go into my office after the service and talk to me, I probably have to look it up. But it's the Spirit of God laying it upon my heart, and I just give it to the people. Okay, and that's how it's supposed to be done. So it says here, the Spirit of God will teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And so what do we have because of that? The next verse, peace. Peace I leave with you. The peace of God that comes with understanding the deep things of the Lord. It's like, you know, what I wrote in the bulletin. When you understand humanity, humanity becomes understandable. And you stop striving around so much, running to and fro, you know. It's like, you know, I'm a good Boy Scout. I like to prepare for things. You know, we had that power outage recently. I saw some holes in my emergency plan that I filled, and those are all good things to do. Be a good Boy Scout. I invest some of my wealth. You know, I'm not wealthy, but it's wealth as in some of my extra funds. I invest. So I try to make good decisions on financial palpability and that kind of thing. But could the whole house of cards come tumbling down? Nope. It will. Okay. During the latter days, men are going to be throwing their gold into the street because they're tired of carrying around worthless metal anymore. Okay. That's the value of gold. Is supposed to be the world's most secure currency. And right now it is. It's the gold price is going through the roof. I think right now it's like 228 or something like that. 2,280, give or take. And it's probably going to hit three before the end of the year because they keep printing money. And so gold is a hedge against inflation. And I recommend everybody have a little bit of gold. If you're going to save some money, it's a good idea. But don't go buying and selling it. Nobody can time the gold market, just like you can't time the stock market. Buy and hold. But can the Lord take all that away? Yep, he can in a heartbeat. Okay? So the only security I have, I mean, ask anybody, they're probably all dead now, that went through the change into the government under, just prior to the government under Adolf Hitler. Their currency hyperinflated, and Germany was one of the most prosperous countries in the world at the time, more so than the United States right before that happened. They went from the value of the German Deutschmark being a very, very high value because of the profitability of the GDP of the country, to where it took a wheelbarrow of Deutschmarks to buy a loaf of bread. And these are men that spent their whole life saving, investing, and earning money. Okay? So it can all be taken away in a heartbeat. So what is true in the world? The Lord. Yeah. With food and raiment, be what? Be therefore content. Be thou therefore content, I think it says. Okay? So if you got food on in your belly and clothes on your back, a roof over your head, you know, God promised this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Who is his righteousness? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. And all the necessary things will be added unto you. He's never going to let one of his go begging bread. Okay? So, going on here. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, and not unto the not as the world giveth. And like I said, where is the peace in the world? Where's it at? Anybody got any ideas? No. All that's in the world is deprivation. We might have glimmers of hope here and there. The United States was doing pretty good for a little while, you know. But what? Yeah. How old is the United States? Less than 400 years old? And yet we're driving her into the ground already. You know? So, and that's the same thing that happened to the Roman Republic. Was pretty good. Under a couple of Roman emperors, they had what's called the Pax Romana. It lasted about 80 to 100 years, give or take. Under, I think, the main emperor at the time was Marcus Aurelius. And he was a pretty just ruler. He was a Stoic, so they were very much, you know, whatever is good for the people is good for me. So he was a pretty good ruler. So you have glimmers of hope here and there. But by and large, the entire Roman Empire was a totalitarian hellhole. You know, if you spoke against the Roman Empire, it was literally off with your head. You know, and they made sure they did it publicly, too, so there'd be no dissenters. Okay? So show me, where's the good in the world? Well, we have peace with our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, and not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. So we're going to have eventually the revelation of the Antichrist. But the word, the world, excuse me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father giveth me commandment, even I do. Arise, let us go hence. And so we go forth in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. All right. And it appears as though we're going to be in Matthew chapter 12, verse 47 to 50 again next week. I've got 53 seconds, so let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for the Word of God. It doesn't matter where we are in the Scriptures. There's always a message to be preached. And in every portion of Scripture, there's a principle to be learned, but it's applicable to myriad other principles within the Word of God. And eventually, after we hear all the principles of the Lord, we start to gain a maturity in the things of the Lord. And then we start to be at rest. We're not so anxious because we're in the world. The world causes anxiety. But in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have solidity and we have peace. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.